best boss I ever had.
Oh, shoot. That's my cab.
All right.
All right.
Listen, Michael, I did text Pam, but...
I know. It's okay. Just give her a hug. All right?
I'll see you tomorrow at lunch.
I am looking forward to lunch.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you once again. We're in a bye week, but we're still bringing you two episodes because we love you and because we care. Before we get into everything, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. And of course, we are brought to you by Mojo. Go follow Mojo on Twitter. Go to the Apple App Store and download Mojo as well. Guys, we are running quite possibly the best and easiest contest for anyone to enter ever. If I go Donald Trump for a minute, in the history of contests, this is the easiest contest that anyone could ever enter. Okay? Weiss, can you read the rules for our good listeners and see how they can go to a Giants game, a Giants home game, two tickets, and not only a Giants home game, with two tickets. So you and a guest, you and a kid, you and a family member, also a customized jersey.
All you have to do, like you said, you know, two tickets and a personalized Giants jersey is go to my timeline, the pinned tweet. There is a tweet there with a link. You click the link, you enter your phone number, you receive a text to download Mojo. I can assure you Mojo is not going to solicit you with any more texts. The reason why they ask for phone number is because they don't want multiple people entering the contest at one time, meaning one person submitting 5-6 entries. They want this to be as fair as possible. So when you enter your phone number, you automatically enter the contest. You'll be sent a link to download the Mojo app. And then the last thing you have to do is just give a review on NYG Weekly in the Apple Podcast Store. Drop a quick review, give us 5 stars, tell us how much I'm right and Ethan is wrong, something like that. Whatever you want.
Whatever works. Enter.
Yeah, whatever floats your boat. It doesn't have to be a positive review either. If you got some criticism for us, let us know. We're always open to that. But into the contest, we want to definitely give these tickets away.
Yeah.
To one of our
Giants are good. You guys should want to go to these games. Yeah. So
these atmospheres are crazy. I'm actually going to go to a game sometime this month in November, hopefully. Maybe probably not the Texan game, so I'm looking at the Lion game. But
okay.
Yeah, I recommend into the contest. It's a great atmosphere, free tickets. Go to the Giants game and have a good time.
There it is. Okay.
All right.
Let's get into the Giants. So,
all right. Very
eventful trade deadline for everyone
yeah.
else.
Yeah.
Not so much for the Giants, which was what I was asking for and had been my take for the last 2 weeks. Let's start with the Giants. We can discuss the rest of the league later on in the episode. But Giants, Stan Pat, Kenny Golladay will be their big trade deadline acquisition when he's healthy.
If you want to call it that.
And to be honest, I'm very healthy. Very healthy. Very happy. God, I'm very happy that the Giants.
Healthy.
I am healthy. Yeah. But I'm very happy that the Giants did not do anything at the trade deadline. You saw the prices that were out there. They were hefty. For not even B-level talent, in my opinion. And what really sort of puzzled me and what I feel like a lot of fans didn't understand is Joe Shane, whether purposefully or not purposefully, sort of set the market for receivers when he sent Kadarius Toney to the Chiefs for a third and a fifth.
That's what I thought, too. That's
right. So when you go and you set the market for a guy who has played 4 snaps for your team, hasn't been able to stay healthy, has been overall a headache, I don't understand fans who thought that they would be able to just flip those picks for Jerry Jeudy. Now, one thing I was wrong about, and this is sort of unrelated to the Giants, is I didn't really think that the Broncos would be sellers, but they did trade Bradley Chubb to the Dolphins. By the way, what a haul for the Dolphins on the Trey Lance trade. I think they wound up with Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and now Bradley Chubb. using some combination of the picks that they acquired in the Trey Lance trade. So bravo to them.
Somehow all this goes back to Laramie Tunsil's
bong. Yes.
So like if you go up the evidence board, it goes.
Maybe I'll make that meme later. You know the meme of the guy with the big dominoes? It's like Laramie Tunsil smoking a bong, the Miami Dolphins becoming a powerhouse. So I didn't really understand folks who thought that the Giants would get anyone of impact based on the current market prices. Per Ben Albright, I believe the asking price for Judy was at least a second and a fifth. I am not giving up a second round pick for Jerry Judy.
More than a 2 and 5.
That was the start. That's like the mid round picks. Yeah,
they didn't want to trade Jerry Judy. Let's just put it that way.
No. Young cost control receiver. They were not moving him for anything that wasn't substantial.
And I don't think they were full time sellers. Like I know the Bradley Chubb thing, right. But I think they still.
They want a whole, 100%. New ownership group, first year head coach. They just paid Russell Wilson $1 billion. Like they're not throwing in the towel, despite how bad they've been.
And if you've watched the Broncos the last couple of weeks, especially their London game, the one receiver that Russell Wilson is starting to get acclimated with a lot is Jerry Judy. So
yeah. You know. So I didn't really see that happening. Claypool for a second. I mean,
and not just any second.
Their own second pick. Yeah. It wasn't even theirs or the Ravens second.
It was
one of the two, and it wound up being their own second, which is going to be a high second. So I did not understand that.
So hypothetically speaking, if the Giants were going to be involved in that, they would likely have to throw in another pick too.
Yeah,
because the
their
Bears
pick's going to be higher.
Exactly.
Right. They could have been outbid.
Right.
So overall, based on the market, very happy that the Giants stood pat. Also, I think that there's sort of a fundamental misunderstanding of the Giants cap situation. I think that was made much more clear in some of the interviews that Joe Shane did after the trade deadline, where he said, you know, I don't know how I'm going to get through the rest of the season without restructuring a contract or two. So I don't know how they were going to add someone with any sort of substantial salary.
Isn't it refreshing to see a general manager talk during the bye week?
Well, yes, but okay, here's the thing. We were constantly like, you know, Dave Gettleman, he took victory laps. He didn't speak when things were bad. John Mara, like sort of the same thing. And he would put his foot in his mouth a lot. Like, I don't care how often you talk or you don't talk, as long as there are results behind it. You know what I'm saying? Like if Joe Shane didn't want to speak after the trade deadline, totally fine with that because the results are there. The plan is clear. Right. He just used this little media tour afterwards to sort of reemphasize, like, this is still a process. This is year one. We're still building. And everyone needs to understand
that. It sets a precedent that, hey, I'm willing to, like, regardless of situation, I will get out.
I'm not going to run and hide.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, listen, it's nice to hear from him, especially because he's reiterating a lot of the points that we've been hammering home. Again, it's a process. This is year one. They didn't expect to be here, you know, 2 or 3 months ago. So very, very happy that the Giants stood pat, that they are abiding by the long-term plan that was laid out. And those are really my thoughts. The last thought is, again, look at who was traded at the wide receiver position. Chase Claypool.
Two receivers.
Right? Even Brandon Cooks didn't get moved.
No.
There is no player.
I was surprised by that.
There is no player that the Giants could have gotten that would have made them a Super Bowl contender. Ride with your guys, keep your picks, especially like a lot of people will sort of be like, well, you don't know what these picks are going to turn out to be. Like, yeah, you're right. We don't. But if you look at the job that Joe Shane and his staff did during their first draft and the value and some of the guys that they were able to get in the late round, some of the UDFAs, like they clearly have a very good eye for talent. So yeah, keep the picks. I trust them. You know, let's build. This is a great foundation. Let's build.
Here's the thing. It's been one off season, and it's been one off season with a lot of constraints in terms of the salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
So like you can't, like people want them to build a swimming pool when they haven't even laid the foundation of their house yet.
I like that analogy.
I was actually texting somebody earlier and I used that analogy and they were like, I like that too. So
yeah,
my point is that look,
that's going to be a pullout clip. We're going to tweet that out.
Okay. In terms of Jerry Judy, that was the big one, right? That was the one that Giant fans were clamoring for. Jerry Jeudy has not established himself as a wide receiver one in the National Football
League. Not even close.
So you cannot sit here and tell me that, like, if you look at his catch rate and you look at his, like, sort of advanced stat, they're actually very similar to Darius Slayton. Like, Darius Slayton has put up, in terms of statistics, more statistics, but in terms of, like, catch rate, his catch rate and Darius Slayton's catch rates are very similar. They both have sort of drop issues. You have to look at each individual receiver on its own. I think the biggest misconception that fans make is they seem to think that just make a move for the sake of making right. a move. And I think that that's not the right mindset to have.
No, and Joe Shane said it best. Don't shop hungry.
Exactly. I was just about to say, you can't just shop hungry and you can't just go into and say, okay, I need to go get a wide receiver. I think you have to understand value. And the other big thing that I kept hearing is don't overvalue draft picks. You know, and it's like, yeah, we're not overvaluing draft picks, but for a team like the Giants, who's looking to build their foundation, they need to build their foundation through the draft. So they shouldn't be giving away draft picks. They should be accumulating more draft picks, because yes. as you accumulate draft picks, what does that do? That gives you more opportunities to pick players, and you never know. You could luck, you know, you could pick, you know, you bat and you come up to the plate and you could land yourself a home run. So the more bat, you know, I'm at trying bats. To make a baseball reference. Yeah. The more at bats you have, you know, the more likely you are that you can find somebody that can.
Yeah. Be unless you're the Yankees, but that's okay.
We're not talking about that. So people have to understand that. And the other thing was like, well, yeah, you have a long-term goal, but you have to adapt because you're 6-2. Well, they did adapt.
Mm-hmm.
They did. If they were 2-6, they're not calling and asking around for a receiver.
No,
you know, or they're not calling around asking for a defensive lineman or a cornerback. They're what are they doing? They're selling off their pieces. So they did adapt. They received calls on one of their players and they just hung up the phone. Or
Dexter Lawrence.
Right. So they people are saying, well, you have to adapt your plan. They did adapt their plan. They said, you know what, we're going to hold on to these players that maybe at the beginning of the season,
right.
we thought that we could move. The Kadarius Toney situation is completely different, because Kadarius Toney, it was off the field stuff and it was locker room issues. And it was the fact that him and the coaching staff never built that relationship where there was
the
trust
vibes
there.
Were bad.
Yes.
As the youths say.
And they had to move him and they got a pretty good return for him. I mean,
right.
Chase Claypool went for a 2. Kadarius Toney went for a 3-5. Chase Claypool had a very promising rookie season. You know, you can say the he's proven more in this league. Whereas Kadarius Toney hasn't proven much outside of being a first-round pick. So overall, I think people need to just calm down for a little bit. Take a step back and understand. One of the things that Joe Shane said, I believe is WFAN, I think it was that he talked about the importance of process. Like they're 6-2, but some of these games, they're down 17-3. They're down 20-10. And as a fan, you're not looking at it that way. You're saying, we won. Who cares, right? But he's not looking at it that way. And what that tells me is the style of play that they're playing right now, especially on offense, is not what they want to do.
Correct.
That's not what their identity is. Like, they don't want to rely heavily on the run. They know what style of offense they want to run. They just don't have the horses for it right now.
Right.
And I think that's important here too. And then, you know, you mentioned guys that removed. One receiver was moved in Claypool, and then the other one was Calvin Ridley.
That's the only trade that went down where I tilted my head and I was like, huh.
But I didn't tilt my head, because even like I think it can be a second round pick if he signs an extension. So like, if you're making a trade for Calvin Ridley, you're doing it on the assumption like, hey, I'm going to sign this guy to an extension. He's going to be out of football for a year. We don't know what he's going to be when he gets back.
Right.
So to me, I wasn't like, oh my God, how come we didn't do that? You know?
No, I'm not upset by it, but it's a move that's clearly geared towards the future, right? He's not playing this year. They only had to give up a fifth. It was a trade laden with conditions. So if you were to tell me like, oh, like the Giants are taking a shot on Calvin Ridley, who very easily could be a wide receiver one, I would have been okay with that.
I'm with you, but a guy out for
but I'm not upset. Like, whatever. Yeah.
So the trade was, the Falcons trade return is a two future draft picks that can range from a maximum compensation of a 2023 fifth and a 2024 second round pick, which will be conditional upon Ridley's reinstatement.
Right.
Should Ridley be reinstated past a certain date, the fifth round pick will turn into a sixth round pick. If Ridley makes the team in 2024, the second round pick will be worth at least a fourth rounder. A playing time milestone will then convert the pick into a third rounder, and the Jags will give up a 2024 second rounder if the team strikes a long-term deal with Ridley.
Right. So it's basically like you have to get on the field, and once you're on the field, we can see what you're made of. And if we like what we see and we're going to extend you, then giving up a second round pick for a wide receiver of his caliber, I love that for the Jags.
I just don't know what his caliber is. He's going to be out of
football. We've seen what his caliber is. And he's also missed games.
Like, he's missed game because of some off the field issues with them. Like, it wasn't just the gambling thing. Like, if you go back, you know, didn't he walk away from the game for some, I think it was a mental illness, and
it was a mental health thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So
you're taking a gamble, but listen, the gamble is a fourth or a fifth round pick for someone who could be a wide receiver one. I don't hate it.
I also have the theory that a lot of these receivers that were mentioned on the market, Elijah Moore, Jerry Jeudy, Brandon Cooks, even like a guy like Denzel Mims, I do think their price tag is going to be substantially cheaper during the offseason.
100% agree.
When teams have more clarity on what their direction is. For all we know, the Denver Broncos could clean house after the season. They have games left. It could go really, really bad. Hackett, who's already on the hot seat, he could be gone. We don't know what happens with George Patton. Like, I'm just saying, like, that's on the
table. No, I agree with you 100%. The market's going to be vastly different in a couple months.
Right. So then you have a new regime. They might be looking to offset some of their pieces, especially a guy like Jeudy, who'll be in the final year of his deal. Elijah Moore, the Jets are keeping him right now, but what happens in the offseason, right? Yeah. What's their plan then? You know, and then Brandon Cooks, I mean, I don't even know if he's going to finish the season as a Houston Texan right now.
Yeah, he's not playing tonight. So
I think people just need to calm down. I think we need to take a step back, understand we're not even a full year into the Joe Shane regime, yeah. Joe Shane, Brian Daboll regime. Let's take a step back. Let's calm down. You know, we're all happy we're 6-2. Let's just let this thing play out. When we get to the offseason, we'll discuss. Look, they could finish with 9, 10, 11 wins, 12 wins, make the playoffs, and then get to the offseason with, you know, $80 million in cap space and 11 picks at their disposal.
Yeah, exactly. It's house money.
You know? So, yeah, they really are playing with house money. I just think people need to look at the big picture here. This isn't a one-year endeavor. They're smart for not giving up premium picks for a player that might not increase their win total to what it, you know, might be right now. I don't think Jerry Jeudy adds wins to their season. No. I don't. I do not.
He doesn't turn them into a contender.
Yeah. DJ Moore is the other one. But the thing about DJ Moore is it's costing you more than a first round pick. So you have to think about
a lot
the
of
Giants in position. Maybe they're going to be in position after the season when they have more clarity on what their roster will look like. Maybe. Yep. But right now, they're just not there. They're not there. They're not in that position to do that. So, look, I'm all for trading picks for a proven player. But like I said last week, I think certain teams need to value their draft capital more than other teams.
Yes.
Miami has a quarterback, has, you know, built themselves an offensive line, has a running game, has receivers. You know, there's a lot more clarity on what their direction is. So they could go get a Bradley Chubb. The Giants are just not there yet.
No.
Is that they'll get there. That's the hope. But people just have to be patient.
Yep. And then the last thing, the Giants need a receiver to evaluate Daniel Jones.
That's
total nonsense.
Look at the season. He's played. He's got better every single week. We're sitting here talking about, hey, he's earning himself another shot. I don't understand. Like, we've gotten more evaluation this year.
But how do you think that these guys evaluate quarterbacks from lower level schools? Like, we're talking about a fucking quarterback from Duke.
How do they evaluate him at Duke?
He had exactly. Nobody at Duke. How do you evaluate Josh Allen at Wyoming? How do you evaluate Trey Lance at North Dakota State? Like, that's what they get paid to do.
How did they evaluate Daniel Jones? Everything about Daniel Jones was he didn't have anybody at Duke.
Correct.
Offensive line with no pro players. Receiver. I think the only pro player he played with, I think, was Jameson Crowder. I might be wrong. But I think that was the only one. That was the only pro NFL player that Daniel Jones played with while at Duke. So how do they evaluate them to pick him at six?
It's their jobs. They can do it.
And
then, I promise.
And like, let's look this season. What have we been saying every single week? He's getting better. He's getting better. He's getting better. Like, we're getting more clarity on Daniel Jones this year than we've gotten the past, you know, two, three years. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you can get your answer. You don't need to have like
Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah. I don't know how Jerry Jeudy all of a sudden makes it easier for them to evaluate him. I don't.
It doesn't.
So I don't know. Now, there was another receiver that's been mentioned with the Giants, and one that it just seems like.
We debated this.
It just keeps sticking
around.
Where
there's smoke.
And Joe Shane even took it a step further.
Mentioned it by name.
He mentioned him by name at his press conference with the beat writers. And then he went even a step further during his, I guess, his interview with WFAN Radio when he says, yeah, I've been in contact with Odell's people.
Mm.
I have talked to him.
Mm.
So,
mm.
Look, do I think Odell's coming to the Giants? No. But
not this season.
No. Here's what I'll say.
Not this season, Weiss.
I don't think you can rule that out. I don't think you can rule that out anymore. I think that they're
not this season.
I don't think he's coming this year, but I am not as confident as I was before hearing that WFAN interview that he won't even come back this year.
Well, I'll remain steadfast. I think, I don't know, man. Like if the Giants were real contenders, yes. I think next year. He will put on a Giants uniform before he retires again.
I just think that with Odell this year, when you look at the options, obviously Buffalo, right? That's the big one. Rams want him back, but the Rams also were trying to get Brandon Cook. So it's like, where are they in terms of what they're willing to give? People keep harping on the fact that Odell wants a long-term deal. He wants an incentive-based multi-year deal. That's what I read.
Which during our chat with Jordan is just not possible with the cap situation.
No, right? So it's like, how do they make it work? Well, the only way you can really make it work is if you give them a multi-year deal, because that allows you to spread that cap it out.
That's true.
And while he also spoke about Odell Beckham, he also mentioned the fact that he might have to restructure contracts just to get another contract to get through the season. And not to have a salary cap conversation, but the only real move that they could make to free up cap space, you know, is restructuring Kenny Galladay's contract. Now, nobody wants to do that because they want to get out of that as soon as possible. But that's just how bad their salary cap situation is.
It's bad.
There is that extension for Dexter Lawrence, but that's really not going to free up as much cap space because Dexter Lawrence is still on a very small cap for this year because he's on his rookie contract. So that Odell thing won't go away until he signs with somebody.
Correct.
Joe Shane sort of put it out there that there's interest there. When you reach out to somebody, you're interested in them. So it's like, it's fair to say the Giants are interested in a reunion with Odell Beckham this year. What's stopping that is, well, is he healthy? When is he going to be healthy? When is he going to be cleared? And then the contract.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
So, yeah, that's what you can't completely rule it out.
Return of the king.
You know, I ruled it out a couple weeks ago, but to hear the general manager admit like, yeah, hey, I've reached out to him.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, that's pretty telling. And then the other thing was Tiki Barber, I don't know if you saw the clip. I sent it to you too. He also said, well, he was at the Jags game and he was talking to John Mara about Odell. And I think Odell called John Mara like a few seconds later or a minute later. And John Mara was like, do I answer this? He's not under contract. Is this tampering? Yada, yada, yada. So there just seems to be a lot of smoke there.
Smoke.
It's like the level of interest might be more than what we're being led on. So we'll see. I mean, we're getting at that point where it's like Odell's going to be cleared. I think early on the report was post NFL trade deadline is when you'll see Odell start
yeah.
to
Well, I think the latest reports were December, but
he'll probably want to sign before then just to get acclimated.
I'll say this. Do you think the Giants are going to the playoffs this year?
I do, yeah.
Do you think that there's a certain wide receiver out there who wants redemption for his one and very bad playoff performance for the New York Giants?
Sure.
So,
but I think Odell, I don't know, man. It's crazy where we are on this. I mean, outside of the fact that this team is fucking 6-2.
Well, yeah.
And the playoffs are very much a realistic possibility. I think I would call it a disappointment at this point if they don't make the playoffs,
agree.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, not only are you 6-2 and headed for the playoffs, you know, hey, remember that guy, Odell?
Yeah, mm-hmm. The guy who was on pace to break every single wide receiver record in the history of the NFL? Yeah, him.
So it's crazy. But like I said, that's the type of season it's been. And so on we go. They did add, though, a wide receiver, Isaiah Hodges, who was a draft pick.
Buffalo.
Buffalo 2020 pick. I think he was a sixth-round pick. I remember watching him, and he was a tall, lengthy receiver.
He's like 6'4".
Yeah, contested catch guy. He's sort of like Colin Johnson a little bit.
Right.
So we'll see. But this is who they are. This is their team. They're going to move forward with it, and that's just the way it is.
All right. One other thing. I'm not going to talk Daniel Jones because I think that conversation will be fairly lengthy. Saquon Barkley, from our good friend Justin Penick. He posted today, Saquon's on pace for over 400 touches, 405 touches specifically, and is currently on pace to break his total scrimmage yards from his rookie season. Now, I'm of the belief, we've had these conversations before, I don't think that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane allow this unless in the back of their minds they're thinking franchise tag. Because that number of touches for a player who's suffered the injuries that he has, and I understand that he is really the only piece of the offense that's working, so you have to lean on him, but that is a lot of touches. And I think that they are going to run him into the ground as far as they can take it and then try to franchise him.
I think the Saquon conversation is it's a tough one to have because, like you said, he's super talented and he's having a great season and he's the only real offensive player that you have to look at and say, we have to prepare for that guy. Everybody else, we can just man up and out talent them. Yeah. Saquon, that's a guy we have
scheme
to
for.
Right. If you stop him, you can stop the Giants. Look, I think it was pretty telling to me when, if you guys go back and listen to Joe Shane talk about Daniel Jones, and you hear him then talk about guys like Dexter Lawrence, Andrew Thomas, Saquon Barkley, there's a different tone. I think with Daniel, there's still more to prove there. With those guys, those other guys, including Saquon, there seems to be an understanding that we want these guys here long term. Now, the difference with Saquon is obviously the position he plays, the injuries. I'm of the mindset that you have to keep him around because he's so important to the culture that you're trying to build, to the foundation you're trying to lay, outside of the fact that he's a great player.
Mm-hmm.
What gives me confidence is that they have an understanding of how much value to put on a player.
Yes.
And they don't just look at production, they look at other things too, the intangibles, the importance of a person to a locker room. And Saquon is an important player, regardless how you feel about paying a running back or that. Saquon's importance to the locker room goes beyond just the position he plays. Now, that doesn't mean that you give him a blank check, but I think that factors
certainly
in.
Not. Yeah.
But that certainly plays a big role when you're trying to have that conversation of, hey, do you pay him? Do you not pay him? So in terms of the franchise tag, obviously that's going to be on the table. And I think that's probably the direction they'll go to start the negotiations. After that, I've been of the mindset that a 3-year deal – is the right approach. I think the league has sort of learned not to give out these five-year deals to running backs. And you're also seeing a lot of players take, you know, lesser, you know, three-year deal, four-year deal, just because mm-hmm. it gives them the opportunity to cash in again.
Right.
So I think that's the direction I would hope that they would go. In terms of running them into the ground, I think that was really, I mean, that's what I expected, was they were just going to ride them, and then go from there. But because you're 6-2, because sort of the mindset has changed on really his importance, you have to keep him. You have to.
I think they're going to do that via franchise tag, or at least try.
What would be a 3-year deal that you would be like, okay, I can live with that?
What's the franchise tag, like 12 or 13?
Something like that, yeah.
14?
Would you go to 15?
That's tough.
It's $2 million bucks. I think you can do that. I think you can stomach that.
I'll meet you at 14.5.
All right. Yeah.
That's the Jew in me.
He is, you know, too soon, man.
What? You're not Kyrie Irving?
No, I'm not.
I'm the Jew here.
Yeah, but people get canceled for saying stuff like that. I would hate for you to get canceled.
Those are my Jewish negotiating skills. I'll meet you at 14.5.
All right. Yeah, but I do. It's tough to envision a scenario where he's not a part of the Giants next year. But that was the thing, was that what Joe Shane said about Daniel Jones was like, there wasn't it wasn't exactly a ringing endorsement. Like, hey, I want this guy here.
No,
it was basically like, hey, you got 9 games. After the 9 games, we'll talk. We'll see where we are. We'll evaluate mm-hmm. our options. We'll talk. Whereas a guy like Saquon, it's like, yeah, he's a culture guy. I got to keep him. Like, goals to keep him around. But, you know, like, I'm not going to – it's not going to be a situation where they're going to, like, just, hey, Saquon, here's a blank check, you know?
No, not at all. They're too smart.
Right. Second half of the season, I wanted to ask you.
Sure.
How many wins do you see?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm going to have to pull up the Giants' schedule. We went over this briefly during the last episode just because –
I got the schedule for you right here. I just want you to think. All right, out of the bye, they got the Texans at home.
Win.
That's a win, right? Then they host the Lions. That's going to be a tough game. Lions offense is pretty good.
Yeah.
That's not
– But that's a win.
Okay, that's fine. So they're 8-2 going in Thanksgiving. I have that game circled. I've had that game circled since the first Dallas game. The hope that they'll be a lot more healthy going into that game. So you're going to give them a win or a loss?
A loss.
But damn it, it'll feel so good. That weekend will be so awesome.
I know. Yeah.
I keep thinking about it. Like Thanksgiving, we get that win. Like the whole weekend, World Cup. It's like,
yeah, I know. Damn. But that defensive line still scares the shit out of me.
So you got
Dak's back. Yeah. So 8-3.
8-3. Then they host the Commanders.
Win.
That's 9-3. Then they host the Eagles.
L.
9-4.
Yep.
Then they go at the Commanders.
Win.
So that's 10-4. Mm-hmm. Then they go at Minnesota.
L.
That's 10-5. Host your boys, the Indianapolis Colts.
Win.
All right. 11-5. And then close the season against the Eagles.
L.
Really? 11-6. Yeah. Okay. All right. So you got them at 11 wins, but. You know, that last game, maybe the Eagles are resting their starters because they've got everything.
That's true, actually. I didn't even consider that.
So we'll say 11, 12 wins, depending on the circumstances.
Sure.
That's wild.
Wild.
Yeah. I would say somewhere – I would say my hard number is 11.
I would be upset if they didn't get to 10.
I do think they're going to lose a game that they are expected to win. And that Detroit Lion game really
– I don't blame you. I mean, listen, two games against the Commanders, division games get wonky.
Yeah.
You never know.
That Lion game is a little bit tricky for me. But, look, I think they're destined to be a wild card team.
I mean, listen, as good as the Lions' offense is, their defense is bad.
Yeah, but so was Seattle last week. But although I will say Seattle's defense, if you look at the metrics, like they've gotten better week to week.
And they got a lot of rookies who were coming into their own. So
yeah, and there was that one game where it was just like a basically a Big 12 game with the Lions. I think it was like 49.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm with you. 10, okay. 11, 12 yeah. would be, you know, pushing it for me, but yeah, but I think 10, 11 is where they will be at.
Agreed.
I think that'll be enough to get a wild card. Maybe back to Seattle for
maybe that would be fun.
Wild card weekend, huh?
Yeah.
I really want to see Gino one more time.
That dude, I'm telling you.
All right.
You want the Rams, by the way. The Rams. We had that conversation about the NFC West and how I think that Seattle could win the division. Yeah. I was very wrong about Christian McCaffrey based on game one, but I was very right about McVay and the Rams. I mean, I think the stats are like McVay, when he goes into the half leading, like he's lost once or twice or some crazy statistic like that. And they got blown the fuck out in the second half. I mean, that guy's a bozo. Most overrated coach in the fucking league.
That is wild. But especially because he just won a Super Bowl. But I think with the Rams is Stafford is done. He's done.
Maybe. Maybe.
He's finished. When you start naming things that a quarterback needs, oh, he needs a receiver. Oh, he needs a running game. Oh, he needs an offensive line.
It's really just the offensive line.
I mean, they were trying to get a running back. They were trying to get a receiver.
Yeah, I don't understand why.
To me,
you have Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson.
And then they try.
How many teams would sell their soul for that?
I don't know what Allen Robinson is anymore. I don't know what you can. He's sort of teetering into that Kenny Galladay category.
Not nearly as bad, but I understand where you're coming from.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a name at this point. Kupp, yeah, I'm with you, but Kupp is sort of like Saquon. They're going to just ride him into the ground.
Yeah, I mean, they have no choice.
Yeah. But the 49ers, I mean, McCaffrey, look, certain guys, they can change your complexion of an offense completely, you know, and
he can do it all. Passing touchdown, a rushing touchdown, and a receiving touchdown.
To me, I would categorize Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey the same way.
I agree.
That's my whole thing with like this whole running back debate is that if you got a running back that plays 30 snaps a game, and you know 40% of those snaps he's lining up as a receiver, he's catching passes out of the backfield. Like to me, that's. You know, he has an importance to your passing game. And I think McCaffrey with Kyle Shanahan, what we've seen Kyle Shanahan do with less talented running backs, I just think that's a perfect fit. It's a perfect fit. And the contract is not bad, and he's still 26 years old. Like, I do think, like, this is – you're getting a game-changing player. Like, I think this changes the complexion of the 49ers season, not just this year, but like years to come. And I think for Trey Lance's development, having a guy like McCaffrey and Debo Samuel, that goes a pretty long way.
Sure. I'll agree with you. Evidence speaks for itself. All right, rest of the league, thoughts? I mean, Rams tried to make a trade, couldn't.
The Miami Dolphins getting Bradley Chubb.
Yep.
I thought the Broncos made out well.
What was the return?
I think they got a first. I think they got a fifth. And then they also got Chase Edmonds, who's not a bad back.
No, that's a good trade. Yeah, but it sort of makes it really, really confusing as to why the Panthers won't trade Brian Burns if the return for that could be even higher.
Well, they were offered two ones.
I would have taken that in a freaking heartbeat.
The problem with the Rams ones is it's like 2024 and 2025. Which could be high picks, but the problem
is... Dude, 2024, good quarterback class. Yeah. You package that 2025 first, like that's a lot of draft ammo. For like a Caleb Williams.
I think Brian Burns is one of the more under... You've heard me say this before.
He's like, a million. Well, everyone says that, though. You know, oh, he's the most underrated. All right, great. But like when is your team going to be competitive again? In 3 years?
Well, I think the reasoning behind not making that trade is because it's down the road, and I don't know if this GM believes he's going to be here down the road.
I guess, yeah, okay. So that doesn't make it right, but I understand.
Roquan Smith,
yes.
Perfect landing spot in Baltimore.
Agreed.
I think their pass rush is going to get a lot better with Tyus Bowser.
I thought that was a good return, too.
Yeah, too. We talked about Claypool. We talked about Calvin Ridley. TJ Hockenson.
I loved that trade for both teams. Both teams, to be honest. Okay. And he's a guy that I tweeted about that, you know, that's intriguing for the Giants. Not at the price point, obviously. He's just a player that I really like. Would love to have him on the Giants. Again, like another guy that I think gets underrated because when you look at how bad the Lions have been, like they've been really bad. But I really do think that he belongs in that conversation along with the Kittles and the, maybe not the Kelseys, but like hell, even Andrews, right? Like he's in that tier. And I think that adding him to an offense that has Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen is old, but he's still decent. Dalvin Cook. Like, I think that's a really good fit, especially for a team that's clearly going for it. And he's an underrated blocker. So I really, really like that trade for both. I think the only thing that confused me is that it was in division.
Do you think that the Vikings are legit, or is it?
I think it's just a weak NFC. I mean, I think that conference stinks. Like the Packers are not good this year. Rodgers is he's got a thumb injury. Like they look straight up
also,
bad.
The fact that they didn't.
The Bears are bad. The Lions are bad.
Just the Packers not going for a receiver. I mean, I know it's contradicting to what I said earlier about the Giants, but the draft picks mean different things to different teams. And what is the point of bringing back Aaron Rodgers if you're not all in? I don't understand. That's a team that could trade a first-round pick and then some for DJ Moore. Like that was a team right there that could have done it.
Sure.
The fact that they didn't, it's like, man, what are you doing? Like, what is your goal? Like, I don't understand. Do you think that this is going to work? Like Aaron Rodgers throwing to a bunch of young receivers that might be good in 2 years? Like, is that what, like, what do you think your window is?
I
really don't understand. Like, if I'm a Packer fan, I'm really scratching my head at these guys because it's like, I know you offered a 2 for Claypool, but why not just offer that same thing to Denver? Why not just offer a 1? Like, you have to be aggressive when you have this window. We just talked about San Francisco.
100%.
We just talked about Miami. Like, Aaron Rodgers is on the back end of his career. I still think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. You know, and I don't think he's absolved from any of the blame that's going on with the issues with the Packer offense. But, dude, like, you have one goal, and that is to maximize the remaining years of Aaron Rodgers' career. And it's not because, like, that's what the public – like, it's not – you extended him. Like, you gave him the contract extension. You could have moved on. But you were like, no, I can still win with this guy. So how are you not all in? And then on top of that, you agreed to have him involved in a lot of your decision-making. Well, it's like, if he's involved, and that means you're all in on him. So, like, why not? Why not go take that risk? You traded Davante Adams last year for a first-round pick. I don't blame you because he wanted out. He wasn't going to sign the extension. You got a good return. So it's like you got that extra first last year. So why not say, you know what, it's okay. Let me go trade that one. I have a foundation in place. I have a strong defense. I have a good running game. Like, how much longer is Aaron Jones going to be that guy?
Who knows?
Like, how much, like, I just don't understand what the Packers, like, what is their goal? Like, what are they trying to do? What is the plan? No, I'm serious. Like,
I agree with you.
I wish I could get Aaron Nagler, who was with the school, like, to come on. Like, just can you explain to me what the Packer goal is? Like, what's, like, what is this?
I don't think anyone knows.
I don't get it. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, it's fine.
But it's just like, yo.
Listen, I did it with the Colts.
Yeah, what is your plan? What is your short-term goal? What is your long-term goal? It just seems like you don't have any, you're just making it up as you go along.
Yeah.
And the only reason you're not a dumpster fire is because Aaron Rodgers is there.
Correct.
But this year, he's just doesn't have anybody with him to just drag this.
Dragon team to kicking and screaming into the
very
playoffs.
Very overrated organization.
Yeah.
Very much an overrated organization.
Just to bring this back to the Giants real quick, our good friend, Pat Leonard.
Yeah.
Eight minutes ago. The Giants and safety Julian Love's reps have had conversations about a contract extension, according to a source. Love, 24, a 2019 fourth-round pick from Notre Dame, is a captain, an indispensable player, and pending UFA. Joe Shane wants to get any in-season extensions done this week. So sounds like Julian Love extension is coming down. I love it.
Julian Love, another, hey, what's that word we use a lot? Foundational piece.
He's one of them.
Leader in the locker room.
24, captain, playing at a high level.
We talk about culture a lot, right? Like, you build your culture winning, right? But these are winning players that make winning plays. Remember that game against Baltimore?
Yeah.
Julian Love making that play. I mean, I thought last week that he was playing just as well as Xavier McKinney. Like, remember we talked about their secondary being an abomination? But, like, because Julian Love has been so good and because Xavier McKinney has taken his game to another level, and obviously Adoree Jackson has been great, like, you keep those players around.
Agreed. So I'm excited to see what the numbers are.
Oh, I forgot to share this with you. I was going to text you this. So according to one of my sources.
Sources.
Yeah. I heard that a team called the Giants about Nick Gates.
What?
Yes.
Why?
There's a lot of teams that are looking for interior offensive line play. A lot of them at the deadline, apparently. Teams are looking to upgrade their O-line. I don't know what team it was. I don't know if it got to that. All I was told is the Giants still value Nick Gates a lot more than, I guess, that's out there.
Off that injury? Someone?
Yes. Yes. Now, I might be wrong. Again, you know, I don't like to play insider. But I was like, really? It's like, yeah, team was willing to take a chance. And I thought about it. I said, well, the Giants got a lot of interior guys that could be coming back. Bredesen and obviously Gates is back. And then Shane Lemieux could be coming back. Like, they're slowly, like, they have depth there. The problem is their starters and their depth are not pretty much the same. In terms of talent.
Exactly.
So it's like, but they have options, you know, especially Azudu too. I forgot about him. So maybe a team was like, hey, maybe I can take a flyer on
Nick Gates on the cheap.
Yeah. I mean, he could play center. He could play guard. He could play tackle.
True.
You know, the only thing is like he's coming off injury. It was a very serious injury. But, yeah, I was told a team did call the Giants about Nick Gates. It just didn't go anywhere.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's wrap it up on that. That's a good way to end the show.
Yeah, well, I was meaning to text you. I totally forgot about it.
That's okay.
You know, we're recording on a Thursday. And, you know, my Thursdays are pretty hectic.
Yeah. No hard feelings. Don't worry.
No hard feelings.
Follow us on Twitter, follow me at EthanGSN, follow us at NYG Daily, follow the blog at GothamSN, download the Mojo app, enter our contest, 2 free tickets to a Giants game, Giants home game, customized jersey. Check out the pinned tweet on Weiss's Twitter. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Peace.